Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
I'm really honored to be sharing with you because I do love this church. As Eddie said, about 3.5 years ago, I was here in Uganda adopting our son, Jude. And he's a Muchiga. Just like my friend, Pastor Eddie. And they've adopted me into their tribe, and so I'm a Muchiga as well. I've told my son Jude, when he's 10, we're going to return to Uganda. I've never been to West Uganda, but I heard there's mountains there. And so he thinks there's a mountain called Muchiga Mountain. And so when we return, you all need to find a mountain, because I told him we're going to climb Muchiga Mountain together. But while we were here, one of your church members invited us to come to Watoto Church, and I had never heard of Watoto before. And so I agreed to come, and to be honest, I had low expectations. We had visited one other church, and it wasn't like any church that I was used to. So I showed up with real low expectations, and I walked into Laboa, and I was greeted by people who were just loving and kind. I've told Pastor Eddie there is a lady there in Laboa who's the best church greeter I've ever met in my life, and she made us feel so comfortable. And then the music began, and I could see the heart of worship, and it wasn't like worship that I was used to. And then Pastor Eddie began to speak. And you all know Pastor Eddie. I mean, Pastor Eddie, to me, he's just cool, isn't he? He's smooth, you know. He sounds like this. To me, in my American head, he sounds like this. I am Eddie Mueseje. Awesome. Awesome. Is that it? Is that close? And he was such a great communicator. And I left that day just blown away. My wife and I and our daughter, we spent the service just crying and just moved by what was happening here at Watoto Church. And so I sent the church an email and said, hey, I'm a pastor from the States. I'm going to be here for 2 months. And I would love to meet Pastor Eddie. Now, I didn't know. The trick was, I said, I'd be glad to buy him lunch, and he loves free food. And so I said, I'll be glad to go to lunch with you. And we sat down together over by Quality in Laboa, and Eddie began to share with me the story of Watoto. He began to share with me about Gary and Marilyn and their faith and the dream and the vision of this church. You know, in the New Testament, Paul says to Timothy that the faith of your grandmother and your mother is now in you. What he's saying is faith can be contagious at times. You know, when I was around Eddie and I was listening to him talk about changing a nation, faith started rubbing off on me. And what I realized is my faith was too small. My dream was too small. My vision was too small. I was dreaming about how we could potentially reach 100 more people for Christ. And Eddie's talking about changing a nation and raising up leaders. And as he's talking, I realize I need to start dreaming bigger. In fact, yesterday, my friend, Pastor Dan, who's with us, he said, Andrew, you know, it's probably not our vision is too small. It's our God is too small. We make God our size instead of remembering how big and powerful he is. And every time I'm in Watoto, something happens to me. Faith starts rubbing off on me, and I start dreaming and believing and hoping for more because of the faith that exists in this church. I told your pastoral staff yesterday, you don't have a bigger fan in the world of Watoto Church than me. I love this place. I love everything about Watoto Church. Everywhere I go, I tell people about what's going on here in Uganda, because this just doesn't happen many places around the world. Last spring, we had one of the kids' choirs come through Kentucky, the state where I live, Kentucky Fried Chicken. We had them come through, and Roy, I don't know if Roy is here today. Roy, it's good to see you, friend. Roy and his team did such a great job representing this church. You all would be so proud of them. I love this church. I'm telling everybody about what happens here. And I know this. You all are around here all the time. This is all you know. is Wototo Church. This doesn't happen in a lot of places. You know, in a couple days, our team is going to be going on a safari together. This will be the third time that I've been on a safari, and I know what happens. You know, when you first go and you see that first elephant, everybody freaks out. They get their phones out, they're taking pictures, leaning out the windows. And then you see your first giraffe, and everyone is excited. There's a giraffe, and there's so much excitement. And then by the next day, you've seen so many elephants and giraffes. You just drive by them, and you're like, oh, there was another one. Because you've gotten used to it, right? Hey, don't get used to what's going on here. What God's doing in this church, what God is doing in the ministries of this church, it just doesn't happen. Yesterday, I met my friend Andrew. He drove us up to Subi, and Andrew was telling us that he was raised in Bira, and he's been a part of this church and working here now. And I just told him, I said, Andrew, I know this is all you know is Wototo, but I want you to know this doesn't happen everywhere around the world. Make sure you appreciate what God is doing. And we're learning so much from you all. Part of our leadership team from our churches here, some of our staff members, other pastors are here. And we're learning so much from you all. You know, the Bible says this in Proverbs 18, verse 15. It says, the heart of the discerning acquires knowledge. It wants knowledge. For the ears of the wise, the Bible says that people who are wise, people who want to be people of influence, they're constantly wanting to grow. They're constantly learning. They're asking questions. And while we're here, there's so many things that we're learning from Wototo Church. But you know what I was really impressed with yesterday? As I was sitting with your pastors, they asked me questions. What do I have to offer? Our church is small. We maybe have 12 or 1,300 people on a Sunday. You all have 30,000 people. What could they learn from someone like me? The one I saw was a group of men who were humble and hungry and constantly saying, is there something that we can learn? And while I'm here, I want you to know we're learning so much from you all. Here's one of the things that we're learning from Wototo Church. I've been to Lisboa, Intenda, and downtown campus. Whatever campus I go to, it feels the same. You show up and there are people who welcome you and really genuinely want you to be there. And the worship is unbelievable. All of your communicators are so great. There's this tangible culture that you can just feel when you walk through the door. And one of the reasons is because you all say the same thing. I don't know if you realize this or not, but you all are like on repeat. Saturday, we went to Intenda. I was talking to Pastor Eddie. He said, Andrew, let me tell you about what we're doing. It's something called neighborhood. We're going out and we're finding vulnerable women and we're partnering with them. We're taking care of their children. And he told me all about it. Sunday morning, we show up at orientation. And Richard stands in front of us and says, let me tell you about something. It's called neighborhood. Sunday afternoon, I was out at Bira. I was eating with lunch with Pastor Eric. He said, Andrew, I've got to tell you about something. It's called neighborhood. Yeah. And then yesterday, I'm riding up to Subi with Andrew about something. I said, let me guess. Neighborhood. You all just say the same thing over and over and over again. Here's what we say at our church. When we're tired of saying it, people are just starting to hear it. That's why it's so important that you just continue to say it. Would you all do something for me? Because I love this. I remember the very first time I went to Lisboa. I heard Pastor Eddie speak, and he just started saying your mission, and then he just stopped, and everybody repeated it. And I thought it was so powerful. Would you all do that with me? Can I get a start? I think I remember the first little bit. We are an English-speaking, cell-based. How incredible is that? It is awesome. That's right. That is powerful. Listen, when you just keep saying the same thing and believing for the same thing and stay consistent on the same thing, God does powerful stuff. And here's my opinion about your all's mission statement. It is really, really long. Like in the U.S., we have 6 words at our church because that's all people can remember. We just say we're all about helping ordinary lives become extraordinary stories. That's it. Yours is like 2 paragraphs, but it just keeps going. But it's powerful, and we're learning. We're learning. We're asking ourselves the question, what can we do? Just to find one thing and say, this is what we're doing. And just say it over and over again and pray for it over and over again and believe for it over and over again. We're trying to learn from your culture. You know, something else that we're learning from is your worship. You have a heart to worship God. Last year, I was at a conference with Pastor Eddie and Pastor Gary in Birmingham, Alabama, at Church of the Highlands. It's the second largest church in the United States, and their pastor, Chris Hodges, he said this. He said, this is how you create culture in your church. Well, I got out my piece of paper. I was ready to write down the 4 points. And he said, here's how you create culture in church. You are culture. If you want people to do something, then you do it. If you want them to serve, then you serve. If you want them to pray, then you pray. If you want them to worship, then you worship. I'm trying to figure out, how did you all get this culture of worship here in your church? And then Sunday, I was sitting right there. I was watching your pastors. Your pastors are men of worship. Like, they were working up a sweat, right? They were going all out. Jimmy, is Jimmy the worship leader? Jimmy's got some energy, right? Jimmy, at one point in the service, was doing some sort of high knees, and everybody was doing it with him. We don't do it like that in the States. I'm watching your pastors worship God, and I'm thinking, you know what? If I want our church to worship, then I've got to be the lead worshiper. I'm learning from your church. You know something else I've learned from Wototo? You all have a culture of honor. You all honor your leaders, your founders. I briefly met Gary last year. I've never met Miss Marilyn, but I feel like I know them because of the way you all talk about them. I've probably heard 12 people share the story of Wototo, their story, but you share it like it's your story, and you honor them the way you speak of them. And I hear how you talk about your pastors. Even yesterday, we were driving back from Subi, and Eddie, I met a classmate of yours that's one of the coaches. And he said, I knew Eddie before he was born again. I said, oh, this is going to be good. I said, tell me a good story about Eddie. And he started to tell his story. And he said, no. I can't speak poorly of my pastor. I said, I'll never tell him. Just tell me. There's just a culture of honor that exists. I'm trying, how do we bring that back to our culture? You know, the Bible says this. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, the elders who direct the affairs of the church are well worthy of double honor, especially those who work in preaching and teaching. The Bible says there's something special when you honor the people who are above you, the people who serve you. And we're learning from Wototo. There's so much that we're gaining while we're here. Here's what I think the biggest challenge for Wototo is. You all are really successful. You know, when you're successful and things work, it's easy to get comfortable. It's easy to fall in love with the way you do things and the things that work. Something happens when we're successful. We get a little bit complacent. My son Jude, who we adopted from here in Uganda, he is so tall. I think we got him home and got him on that American diet, and he's just growing so fast. He is the tallest kid in his class. When they measure him, they say he's in the 99th percentile for kids his age. He's tall and he's strong. And I thought for sure he was going to be my basketball player. I knew if I was going to have a basketball player in my family, It was going to have to come outside of my DNA. And I looked at him and I thought, this kid is going to be special. So I signed him up for basketball. And he looks the part. He's tall. I went and got him a brand new haircut, got him a nice fade. He got some brand new tennis shoes. He had the shorts and the jersey on. And I thought, this is going to be it. The problem is, Jude is horrible at basketball. He's always on the wrong end of the court. He just waves at the crowd. Here's the nice thing about adopting a kid from Uganda. He doesn't look like me. I just pretended like I didn't know who he was. He played basketball for 2 years. Never scored one basket. And then a miracle happened. He's playing one of his last games. Somehow Jude got open with the basketball. He dribbled it down and he pushed it up and it went in the basket. We were so excited. And I thought, well, maybe this would spur him on a little bit. Maybe this would give him some motivation to practice a little bit more, to get a little bit more determined. So the next day I said to Jude, Jude, you want to go outside and shoot basketball? He said, no, Dad, I already know how to play basketball now. Made one basket. See, when we're successful, it's easy for us to think that we got it all figured out. And so Watoto has been extremely successful. And here's what I love about your leadership team. Yesterday, what I sensed was a group of men who were hungry, ready to change, willing to change, willing to say, God, whatever we have to do to reach our community for you, we're willing to change. Here's what I know about change and about growth. If we're going to continue to reach more and more people for Christ, change can be painful. There's this great book called Leadership Pain by this man named Sam Chan. And Leadership Pain says this: growth always equals change. Because if we're going to reach more people, if we're going to do something different, then we're going to have to change what we're doing. Change always equals loss. Is the next part of it. Because when you change something and you say, yes, we're going to do this now, that means you're saying no to something else. And loss always equals pain. Growth equals change. Change equals loss. And loss equals pain. So Sam Chan says, great leaders have a high capacity for pain. To say, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Stretch me. I really like where we're at right now and what we're experiencing, but if we need to change something in order to grow, I'm willing to do that. I think it's important, though, that we change the right things, right? Sometimes we can go about changing things that don't need to be changed, and there's some things that don't need to be changed here at Watoto. When we talk about change and we talk about what we're willing to change in the church I come from, we talk about three words: absolutes, convictions, and preferences. Absolutes, convictions, and preferences. We say absolutes are the things that are a matter of salvation. The things the Bible says, this is black and white, right? These are things that we will fight for. We'll divide over. Like if you don't align with us on the absolutes, then we can't align with you. God says this is just the way it is, and we hold to that. Listen to what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 about some of these absolutes. It says, there is one body, there is one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. There's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism, there's one God and the Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. The Bible says, hey, there's one. This isn't up for discussion. This isn't up for conversation. These are the absolutes. And if you are a follower of Jesus, if you attend Watoto Church or Grace Christian Church or any other church in Uganda or in the United States, you have to understand there are some absolutes. Then there are some things that are convictions. These are things that the Bible speaks about, but churches may view them differently. But they're not matters of salvation, right? And Watoto has some convictions, some things that you hold to, and you read through the scripture and you say, okay, this is where we land on that. And it's important as leaders that you align in convictions, but these aren't matters of salvation. So we would talk about things like speaking in tongues, drinking alcohol, right? There are people in heaven who drink alcohol. There are people in heaven who don't speak in tongues, right? These aren't matters of salvation. These are convictions, how we view the end times. There's a lot of things we read through the scripture and we land at different places. What we like to do though, is we like to make our convictions absolutes. We say, no, if you don't align with our convictions, then you're wrong and maybe you're not even a follower of Christ. That's the tendency of the church. And there's some absolutes. Jesus is the only way to heaven. All this other stuff we can disagree upon, but we're still part of the same family, right? And then the last thing is preferences. And this is where most churches differ. This is where churches fall apart. Preferences are things that are not in the Bible, we just have opinions about. You know what happens to us after we've been around church for a little while? We start having church opinions. Like, I like that song, I don't like that song. I think we should sing 5 songs. No, I think we should really worship and sing 10 songs. I think the pastor should speak 30 minutes. I think he should speak an hour. We don't need all those lights. We don't need that production. Sunday, somebody rapping in church, that's a preference. You either like that or you don't like that, right? But the Bible doesn't say anything about that. But what we do is we fall in love with our preferences, the things that we like. Like in the church tradition I grew up in, if you wanted to get saved, we had something called an altar call. It means you had to get out of your church, walk up to the altar. This is the only place in the church you could get saved, right here. And so when we didn't have altar calls for a while, there were some older saints in our church who said, hey, what happened to the altar calls? That's where people get saved, and that's a preference. The Bible doesn't say you have to have altar calls to get saved. That's just how we like to do it. It's a man-made idea. Next month at our church, we're doing this thing called At the Movies, where we're taking current movies and we're using them as illustrations to point people towards Christ. And we're telling everyone, invite your friends who are far away from God. Tell them we're watching a movie in church. But they're gonna show up and they're gonna see part of a movie and they're gonna hear a message. And for some people, they don't like that. But that's a preference. The Bible doesn't say it has to be a certain way, right? And you can have your preferences, but listen, let's not divide over preferences. You know, here's what I see in Scripture. Jesus, he had one mission, but he changed his method all the time. Think about Jesus. He's talking to religious people, and they understood the law, so he spoke from the Scripture. Then he would go out in the countryside, and he was speaking to peasants, people who were farmers. And what did he do? He started telling stories about farming. Same message, but different method. Sometimes we fall in love with methods, especially when they work well. And we fall in love with the method instead of a mission. And a method is just a preference. And here's what I see in Scripture. The instruction is always for the mature to give up their preference for the less mature. So Paul had this issue where people were buying meat that had been offered to foreign idols. And some of the less mature followers of Jesus were bothered by that because they still thought that what they ate, what they put in their body made them clean or unclean. And Paul said, listen, what you eat doesn't make you clean or unclean. That's just your preference. This is not a biblical issue. But then listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 13. He says, therefore, if what I eat causes my brother or sister to fall into sin, I'm never going to eat meat again, so I will not cause them to fall. Paul said, you know what I'll do? I'll give up my preferences. I'll give up the things that I like. I'll give up the things that I enjoy if it's going to keep someone else from knowing Christ. And I think as leaders of the church, as those of us who are mature, we're always willing to give up our preferences, the things that we like. If there is a new method or a new resource that we could use to reach more people for Jesus. I don't want my preference. The church isn't for me. The church is for my neighbor who is far away from God. The church is for our community who has no idea how much God loves them. It isn't about me. We don't need to create some environment that Christians love to come to. We need to think about how can we reach more people for Jesus. That's the mission of the church. Let's fall in love with the mission, not the method. Wototo's had some great methods. 30 years ago, you all were doing things that no other church was doing. Today, you're doing things that no other church is doing. Guess what? What you're doing today may not be what you need to do 5 years from now or 10 years from now. Don't fall in love with the method. Fall in love with the mission of telling people about Jesus, all right? Listen, this is why I know this church works. Because I experienced it myself. When our family came to Uganda, we spent a lot of time waiting for a judge to sign a piece of paper so that we could go back home. We didn't have a lot to do during the day, and so one day I was driving down Entebbe Road and I saw a sign that said, basketball court this way. So my daughter and I went for a walk that day and we went and found this basketball court. There was only one person there shooting basketball, a young lady, and so we walked up to her. I stuck out my hand and I said, I'm Andrew, this is my daughter Chapel. And she said, my name is Hajra. And so we said, can we shoot some basketball with you? We started shooting basketball. There was a church nearby and I pointed at the church. I said, Hajra, do you go to church here? And she said, oh, no, no, I'm a Muslim. My daughter Chapel, who was 8 at the time, said, what's a Muslim, Dad? And I said, Chapel, be quiet. So we played some basketball with Hajra. That night we got home and Chapel said to me, Dad, what's a Muslim? I said, Chapel, Hajra just doesn't understand how much Jesus loves her yet. And I think for the first time in Chapel's young life, she realized there was people who did not understand the love of Christ. And she said, Dad, we need to pray for her. I said, yeah, let's pray for her. So that night we prayed together that Hajra would discover how great God is. A couple days later, we went to go play basketball again. We showed up to the court. Guess who is the only person there again? Hajra. And I realized at that moment, maybe God had made our paths cross, that God wanted to use us some way to introduce her to Christ. And so Hajra became one of our close friends while we were here in Uganda. She would come over to the place that we were staying. We would take her out to eat with us. We played basketball together 2 or 3 days a week. And every Sunday, my daughter Chapel would say, Hajra, would you please come to Wototo Church with us? She said, no, I can't. I'm a Muslim. But every week, Chapel would continue to invite her, and every night we would pray, God, would you just use us to point Hajra towards Christ? Every week we invited her, and she would never show up. And then it was our last week we were going to be here in Uganda. And Chapel said, Hajra, would you please come to church with us just one time? She said, I'll be there. And I remember standing out in front of Laboa, waiting for Hajra to show up. The music was getting ready to start, and I could see the anticipation on my daughter's face, and I started thinking maybe she wasn't going to come. Songs had just began, one or two of them had already played, and I looked over, and here came Hajra. And we went in and we sat in church together, and she got to experience what we experienced. She experienced great worship, and Pastor Eddie had a great message. And then he said, let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. And he said, if there's anybody here who wants to receive Christ, raise your hand. And I know you're not supposed to look, but I had to look. So I just peeked, you know, just peeked out of the corner of my eye. And I looked over, and my daughter Chapel was like this. And Hajra didn't raise her hand that day. But after the service, I went up and I introduced her to Pastor Eddie and some of the staff at Laboa. And then the next Sunday, I received a message from Hajra that said, I went back to Wototo today, Pastor Andrew. Pastor Eddie sent me a message and said, I saw your friend Hajra today. The next week, she told us again, I went back to Wototo. After we've been back in the country 3 weeks, one Monday, I got an email from Eddie who said, Andrew, I got to tell you something. Your friend Hajra received Christ yesterday. I couldn't wait to go pick up my daughter, Chapel, from school to let her know that her friend Hajra received the love of Christ. Sunday morning, we were here worshiping together. My daughter, Chapel, who's sitting right there, she was sitting there on Sunday. And right next to her was her friend Hajra. That's the mission of the church. Hey, let's not fall in love with a method. Let's not get married to our preferences. Let's continue to say, God, whatever you want us to do. If it's not what I like, if it's not what I want, I'll lay down the things I like. I'll lay down the methods that I've fallen in love with. I just want people to know Jesus. I want the country of Uganda to understand how great our God is. And we're not going to fall in love with the things that we like or enjoy. We just want people to know Jesus, because this country is full of Hajras, people who are far away from God, who just need someone to point them to Christ. Is it okay if I pray with you today? God, I'm so thankful for Wototo Church. God, I'm so thankful for the faithfulness of Gary and Marilyn. And as I stand here, I'm just blown away with what you've done with the faithfulness of two people. And God, I believe that the best days of this church are still ahead of them. I believe there's a collection of leaders in this room who are passionate and hungry to do something great for you, to change this entire nation. God, I pray that we would never fall in love with our likes or desires or our preferences. That we wouldn't fall in love with a method. We would fall in love with you and your mission to reach this nation. God, I pray a really special blessing on the leaders here. I pray you continue to lead them and direct them. I pray there would be unity among them, and you would continue to speak to them clearly. God, I believe you're going to do something great and continue to do something great in this church. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We hope this message has inspired you to spread the love of Jesus. If you would love to know more information about us, please visit www.wototochurch.com.